bringing you everything under the Disney umbrella. Network 1901.
Hey everyone, Shannon here. This week's story is from Danny, one of the hosts of Rebel Order and Vundacast. She is one of my absolute favorite intellectuals on Twitter, and her story is absolutely beautiful. I think it's one that a lot of us will find very relatable, and it really moved me. So without further ado, welcome to episode 20 of Lipstick and Lightsabers.
Hi, I'm Danny. First, I just want to say, before I start, thank you so much to Lipstick and Lightsabers for offering me the opportunity to be on their podcast and reaching out to me to want to hear my Star Wars story. And I am also known as @CardiganVixen on Twitter. I also have a Star Wars podcast, like everyone else in the world who loves Star Wars, at Rebel Order Pod, that I do with my partner, at Son of Escudero. And that podcast basically emerged from me constantly bringing up Star Wars in the other podcast that I do, at Vundacast. I could never stop talking about Star Wars, so I decided to make a dedicated Star Wars podcast. We talk a lot about Star Wars on the journey to Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. We have an emphasis on the visual narrative storytelling in the films. We also do talk sometimes about comics, books, and the other movies, etc. A couple of things I'm proud of on that podcast is, one, we do a series called Hollywood Holocrons, where we focus on Lucasfilm creatives all throughout the history of Lucasfilm from 1977 to now. And then I also am proud of the series that we've been doing called our Vic Mahoney Mood Board series, which back in the end of 2018, Ava DuVernay, the wonderful director, tweeted a photo of Vic Mahoney's office. She's the second unit director for The Rise of Skywalker, and she had some stills of films on that board. We decided to start watching those movies and seeing if they had any connection to the visual or narrative storytelling, possibly for Episode 9. Just, you know, speculatory stuff, but based on things that we've seen, you know, that the Lucasfilm people who are creating The Rise of Skywalker are actually focusing on. So we've done two of those. We did one on a Western called The Man Called Noon, and we did another one on a prison escape movie called Midnight Express. And yeah, I'm just really proud of the work that we've been doing. We already have 20 episodes, which is pretty amazing. I never really thought we'd have any, but I love talking about Star Wars with everybody, and I've had some guests on, and that's something that I've been very proud of. So I guess the first question is, how did you get into Star Wars? And I think that people have heard this story before if you've listened to Sarah Sahim's wonderful You Oughta Know Pod, and the Raylo episode that she did, where we basically just gushed about Raylo for 2.5 hours. It was amazing. But I'll repeat it. Why not? Basically, I cannot remember a time in my life where Star Wars wasn't a part of my DNA, I guess, my consciousness. I know some people have very specific stories of when they were first sat down to watch A New Hope or the other original trilogy movies. I don't have that story. I just, as far as I can remember, Star Wars has been a part of my life, has been a part of things that I'm aware of and movies that I love to watch. My parents and I, you know, we had a lot of ups and downs in my early life. We were immigrants. We moved here from Trinidad in 1989. And, you know, we were having to acclimatize to a new world. My mother is Jamaican. My father's Trinidadian. And, you know, we were just getting used to a lot of things. But the one thing that was kind of constant in our lives was a love of fantasy and science fiction. And that's something that my parents shared with me. Like, everything that I love now that influences the fiction that I consume, The Phantom of the Opera, Beauty and the Beast, and Star Wars, was all because of my parents sharing those experiences with my parents, watching all the old science fiction fantasy television shows. I remember watching all, you know, all the movies, but my favorite is always Return of the Jedi. And I loved watching that with my mom. I think Return of the Jedi is my favorite original trilogy story, because beyond just the one, the creatures, I love Jabba's palace so much, and all the creature effects, and that was something that's like been a big thing that I've loved throughout my life. I've all, you know, even in horror movies and other fantasy movies, I love creature effects, special effects, practical effects. And it's funny because I love the Jabba's palace sequence, even though Jabba the Hutt like physically disgusts me, to the point where I have a really funny memory of me and my mom watching Return of the Jedi one night, and we were both eating these Jell-O cheesecake cups they used to make, and in this totally unplanned bout of comedic timing, he's on screen, Jabba, and my mom and I just both put our pudding cups down at the same time by our feet because we were so grossed out. We couldn't handle it. And I think that's, I was just so impressed that they were able to take what essentially was just a giant puppet with like three people inside and make it into a real living, breathing character that was so realistic that it actually grossed me out physically, like repulsed me. I think that's wonderful. And I had the original VHS tapes of the Star Wars series before they added any extras, even before they did the first round of special editions, was just the additional creatures and the extra scene. And I keep those, I still have those to this day. They're very precious to me. And I just think Return of the Jedi was so meaningful because it had the story of Darth Vader and Luke, you know, as time went on, really became significant. I realized that one of the reasons why I love that story so much is watching those moments with Luke and his father. And it always made me emotional. It always made me cry. That scene where he finally gets to talk to him without the helmet on and see him as the person underneath. And I also just loved the triumph of the rebellion. I loved Han and Leia being reunited. I liked all of those things. And so Return of the Jedi was always something that was really meaningful to me. The next question is, how do you engage with fandom? And in order to talk about Star Wars fandom, I have to talk about all my fandom. So, you know, for a long time, anything to do with the things that I liked was very family-oriented. Watching Star Wars with my parents, watching, you know, fantasy shows with my parents. So I really hadn't gotten into fandom. And then I think once Buffy the Vampire Slayer came out in 97, that changed my whole world. I opened up, and I think that was also around the time that the internet was sort of forming, you know, more accessible communities, fanforum.com and LiveJournal, and that's when I really started getting into fandom online. And Buffy changed everything for me. Buffy was something I'd never seen before, but it hit every beat of genre that I liked. The love stories and the fantasy aspects of it, the teen drama aspect of it. You know, for me, being young, and I was very young, but it was just so impressive to me, and I just had never seen anything like it. I used to sneak to watch it at night because it was still like, I was still too young. It was past my bedtime. So I would have to like sneak and run to watch it. And eventually my parents just gave up and let me watch it. And that's when I started writing fan fiction and, like I said, going on forums and talking about the things that I loved. And then it just sort of spiraled from there. And I also had my wonderful best friends who were also really into a lot of nerdy stuff. They weren't as into Buffy as me. So I had to find that community online. That was like the first time when I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to find people outside of my social circle in order to talk about this thing that I love. And I think just for me, fandom's always been important because honestly, as a fat girl, I've been fat my whole life. And now at my age, I try to be very unapologetic about it and very accepting and open and body positive. But that's a journey that takes a long time, and it is a struggle, you know. And so when I was younger, it was really hard to always feel worthy of love, and also seeing the world through this lens that everything was shaped around my size and my body, and I was so aware of that and my presence in the world. So watching Buffy was an escape for me. The ability to see her be badass and a superhero, and also feminine and beautiful. It was something that I needed in my life. And I went to Buffy a lot when I was struggling with emotional stuff. And as Buffy grew up, I grew up. And even though I was much younger than Buffy when the show started, it still felt like she was with me. And Buffy actually ended when I graduated high school. So that was like, you know, it was almost as if I was graduating with Buffy into a new world. So, and then in terms of Star Wars fandom, my wonderful best friends of 20 years were into Star Wars, but it never felt like that world was open to me, even to them, because the struggle was that everything that we did was through this male gaze. You know, everything we consumed in the Star Wars fandom, at least for us, was so male-centric. I wish I had known more about, you know, the female fandom communities at the time, but I think nowadays, with the sequel trilogy, it's so much stronger and richer, and that excites me so much. Because back then it was tough, and so I never really saw a way into Star Wars fandom, especially since the original trilogy was so, you know, there had been so many years in the original trilogy, so the fandom was sort of, you know, very level and not very expanding. And then the prequel series came out, and I was disappointed by the prequel trilogy. You know, I had been really looking forward to it, but I was disappointed with the love story. I was looking forward to sort of an angsty, emotional love story, and I felt the dialogue was very stilted. Even though now I've come to appreciate it more, you know, it still was disappointing to me. And so I fell into that sort of negative, like, oh, George Lucas has messed up and we're never going to get anything else again. And this is it. And this is what we have. And I'll have to accept it. I never participated in any sort of online fandom negativity like that because I didn't think it was worth it. You know, I just went, okay, I don't like these movies, moving on. But that's the other thing too, is that the negativity was so strong, and I really didn't like the way that they treated Jake Lloyd and Jar Jar Binks, Ahmed Best, and so I didn't want to engage. It from the outside perspective, it felt like Star Wars fandom was very negative. So it took a while for me to really get into the Star Wars fandom, and it wasn't until the sequel trilogy that has changed my life. I now engage with fandom constantly because I think the sequel trilogy is so important because it has recontextualized my love for the original trilogy and even my lukewarm reception to the prequel trilogy and made it into something so wonderful. And it takes all those emotional moments that I always loved, you know, Luke and his father and Leia and Han, and put them into this perspective and made them so sweeping and emotional and mythic, even, you know, and Star Wars was already mythic. So to do that on an even heightened level, I have been so impressed. And yeah, I engage with fandom so much more now. I'm on chat, on Discords and Twitter and Tumblr, and I write fan fiction, I podcast. I basically do anything I can to be in Star Wars fandom now. And I guess that moves on to the question, how has it impacted my life? I mean, I have met some of the most wonderful people in the world through this fandom. Before The Last Jedi, you know, I had seen The Force Awakens and I really loved it, but I was afraid. I think I really was afraid. I had that residual fear of, you know, the fandom, the Star Wars fandom, and I wasn't brave enough to think that they were really going to pursue what I had sort of seen glimpses of in The Force Awakens with Rey and Kylo and those things. I didn't think they were going to be brave enough. I'm going to be real. I guess the prequel trilogy had sort of pulled me out of that idea that they would take those risks. And then, you know, The Last Jedi, the marketing happened, and then the movie happened, and I was like, oh my gosh, I think they're going to do this. I think they're going for it. And after that, the fire was lit inside of me. And so now, you know, I've met these amazing people that honestly I needed, because before that moment with The Last Jedi, I was really struggling for a very long time in my life. You know, adulthood in many ways can be disappointing. I've had struggles with my anxiety and depression, and I just got to the point where, you know, I felt, and I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional. I felt alone, even though I had people that loved me and friends. I used to beg every day that I could find a community of people that I could just talk about stuff that I loved, you know, nerdy stuff. Again, the way I used to when I was in college and high school, and engage with fandom, because that really helped me get through some really tough moments in my life. And then it happened, and the women that I have met are the most wonderful, intelligent, compassionate women. And I mean, also just with the relationship with my partner, we have become so much closer just through our love of Star Wars. We had a Star Wars wedding. We had a Star Wars proposal at The Force Awakens, actually. And we rented out a theater for all of our family and friends to see the new Star Wars. That's how excited we were. And then he proposed to me there, and it was a big deal. You know, none of that would be possible in my life without Star Wars. And I think also being in this community of wonderful people with its ups and downs, you know, I have also seen how open people are and the different parts of the community that are really opening and accepting. And so that has sort of helped me, like how the Skywalker saga has been recontextualized with the sequel trilogy, and we've sort of gotten that more emotional depth. My life has been recontextualized recently in the last few years, and I've realized something about myself that honestly I have not told anyone except my partner in my real life, you know, non-fandom life, I guess, is the better term. I can't tell my family. I don't think, I'm not comfortable. And my friends, I don't know, I'm scared to tell them, but I want to say it here because I need to say it somewhere. And I think this community has been really open and accepting of me and everybody. So I'm hoping that that is true. But my life has basically been recontextualized, and I've realized that I am bisexual. I don't even know how to, like, process that. I'm saying it because I don't even know how to process it. I don't know, even though my whole life I've had LGBTQ friends, and I've technically, you know, been, I guess, an ally, quote unquote, to that community, and I've always been comfortable around it. But now, you know, this change in my life, this realization, you know, this acceptance of this part of me and recontextualizing parts of my life and realizing, oh, that's what this was. It wasn't just, you know, this. It was something else. I'm still realizing how to deal with that, but I just want to voice it because I realize that when you voice things, you know, you make it real and you start accepting parts of yourself. You know, like the same thing with being fat. Like when I voice, you know, my love for myself and my willingness to accept my body the way it is, the better that my life got, you know, in terms of accepting myself and body positivity. So I just wanted to say that and use this opportunity to say that. And I know that sounds very silly, but without Star Wars, I don't think that would be possible. So, okay, moving on to the last question. What are you looking forward to for Star Wars this year? Oh, well, definitely the number one thing that I'm looking forward to is the Rise of Skywalker, 100%. I am waiting for Rey and Kylo to happen. I am waiting to see the end of the saga. I am simultaneously terrified and so excited. I can't wait. I'm also looking forward to having the event that I've been organizing with my wonderful group of friends, that we are going to rent a theater in Charlotte, North Carolina, to see The Rise of Skywalker with a bunch of other Reylos and Star Wars fans that are in love with the sequel trilogy as much as we are. We are actually putting all that together now, and it's actually coming together And I'm so excited. You know, obviously we want to wait until it's a little bit closer to the time before everything's 100% solidified, but we're in a really good place. And we actually have a Discord group open now for anybody who is interested. So if you want to tweet me at @CardiganVixen and I can DM you an invite if you're going to be in that area and you want to watch The Rise of Skywalker with a bunch of Reylos. We're going to have a party. We're going to have cupcakes. I'm just really excited about it. I want to celebrate. And I think just being around this wonderful community, and you know that I've barely even scratched the surface of how meaningful it is to me and all the wonderful things that I see, all the beautiful fan art and fan fiction and music. And I mean, there's so much creativity. I write a little bit of meta or rantings on Twitter. I write some fan fiction that you guys don't always get to read it, but I do. And then I also do my podcast. So yeah, it's just like all these things that wouldn't be possible with this wonderful community. So I can't wait to share with all of you.
You've been listening to Lipstick and Lightsabers, presented by Network 1901. This week's story was from Danny, and you can find her on Twitter at @CardiganVixen, at @RebelOrderPod, and at @Vundacast. If you'd like to be part of the show, you can send in your Star Wars story at lipsticklightsabers1901@gmail.com. I'd like to give a special thank you to our patrons for making this show happen, and if you want to reach out to us, you can find us at @lip_lightsabers, and myself at @McCarterShannon. I'll see you guys next time. Bye!